Hello and welcome to Generation Zedia, a podcast about media from our childhoods and how it continues to impact us today. Harry Potter is a seven-novel fantasy series written by author J.K. Rowling for children and young adults. In the near 25 years since the first installment, Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone, was released, the series has become a cultural phenomenon, selling over 500 million copies and becoming the best-selling book series in history. The novels went on to spawn an 8-film series, several theme parks, spin-off books and series, and the love of reading in multiple generations. I'm Ashley Pelletier, your main host for the podcast. We will have a series of rotating guest co-hosts, and our first guest is our associate opinion editor, Michael LaRocca, to talk about Harry Potter.
So, I first got into the series, I believe it was Christmas of third grade, so what was that, like 2011, 2012? I remember that Christmas, my aunt got me the first book, The Sorcerer's Stone. I got that, and I don't even remember how much I was able to comprehend the book, but I ended up reading the whole thing, loving it. Next thing you know, by June, like by the end of third grade, I had read all seven, which is crazy to me because I don't read that much nowadays. Like, I haven't read all the books since then. I've tried, but I'm more like into the movies and stuff, and I've been learning a lot through them.
Yeah, there was a huge thing in my fourth grade class for Harry Potter. Like, a lot of kids didn't read. Like, they just didn't. And I read a lot. I read tons of books growing up. But there was, like, gangs in my fourth grade classroom. Like, the people who read Harry Potter versus the people who read Diary of a Wimpy Kid. And it was so random because these books have nothing to do with each other. But there was so much beef. And I held out a bit. I waited, like, a good year before I actually read them. And then I inhaled them really fast. And which made sense because at that point I could read, like, a book a day, no big deal. And then I came away from reading for a long time. I didn't really pick up reading again until my sophomore year of college. And since then, I've been reading like crazy. Like, last year, I read 51 books the entire year, which was unheard of for me throughout most of my late middle school years into high school. Obviously today, like, J.K. Rowling's a bit of a controversial name with her statements against the transgender community. But I feel like a lot of people are still really big fans of it, which doesn't, like, it makes sense to me because it's an integral part of our childhood. But at the same time, people are being like, why does it matter if I show my support or not? It's just a book, but it's a lot more than that. If you look back at those books, they're even pretty problematic. Rita Skeeter, she stalks children, including when they're in areas where they're supposed to be changing or, like, getting undressed. And she's described as looking like a man and having man-like hands and features, which, if that doesn't say anything about what she's said in the past few years regarding how transgender women aren't real women, I think you don't need to say much else. The line of thought translates into the books regardless of what you think.
I didn't even know that last part. Like, as of late, my experiences with this series have really been through the movies. And, like, I know Rita Skeeter, she was only in the Goblet of Fire movie for, what was it, like, 5 minutes? But that's, like, all you need. But I'm like, I didn't even know that that was how she was described in the books.
Well, even if you just look at the movies, like, look at the outfits the Patil twins wear to the Yule Ball. They're meant to be traditional Indian outfits, but it's literally, like, a t-shirt. It's the worst. Like, if you look at it, they're nothing close to what they should be looking like. It looks like they put $10 into the budget for those outfits, where the other characters have, like, a significant amount of money put towards them. Like, they look good or they look realistic.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. I'm like, yeah.
They look really bad.
Then again, like, the rest of the stuff also looks bad, but it's, like, expensive bad.
Yeah, like, it looks like the rest of the kids look like it was just what 14-year-olds wear, because they are 14 in that book. But with the Patil twins, it looks like they were shopping in the child section of Old Navy. Even with that stuff, there's a character named Cho Chang. That's pretty bad.
I'm pretty sure that's just too, like, stereotypical.
It's too on the nose. And it's, like, obviously she didn't put a lot of thought into that. But, like, there's that stereotype. But then there's also Seamus Finnegan, an Irish character who likes to blow up things. So based on the stereotype of like being a violent person who, like the RA, blows things up. Like,
and then they try to disguise it as, oh, he's doing it on accident.
And like in the movies, it's clearly an accident because you can see him doing a spell trying to turn water into alcohol, which is another thing related to Irish stereotypes. And people look past these things and act like Harry Potter is this peak literature. And yeah, it's popular and it shouldn't be done away with because of the issues that the author has. It's a genuine piece that you should be studying, as it is the best-selling book series of all time. But it's really problematic, and you don't realize that when you're little. But like looking back, Jesus.
Like, I remember when I was a kid, I remember vividly, I was like nearing the end of Chamber of Secrets. And for some reason, this is what stood out to me as a kid. There was a curse word on a page. I was nearing the end of the book, and I go up to my mom, and I'm like, is this allowed? Like, can people write this in books? Like, are they allowed to say curse words? Oh, and I was just like, my mom was like, yes, Michael, they could say that. I'm like, okay. And then I kept reading.
Imagine being one of those kids. Like, I know several people growing up who weren't allowed to read Harry Potter because it was witchcraft. And of course, I went to Catholic school, so that definitely plays into it somewhat. But like, people thought this was a threat because of people waving wands and stuff, but it's really not, that's not the issue.
I'd say it does get pretty dark near the end, but I'd say it's fairly lighthearted.
Like, I have to disagree. The first book, that Harry kills one of his professors by melting his face off, basically. He's like, right from the beginning, he's a bad guy, but right from the beginning, it's this violent, awful book where this little boy's parents are murdered. And he has to go live with his abusive family members because of God knows what reason. Also, the reason for that is, I don't think it was crap.
Then the frogs are chocolate.
Yeah, it was crap because, like, the reason he has to stay with his family is because of this blood power or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
I simply think she should have written it another way. There is no reason to be putting a child in an abusive situation and then, like, justifying it.
I don't know. Like, when you think of literature, people, I guess, tend to feel more for characters who come from troubled past, because then it shows growth, I guess, as a person. Because how much growth would Harry really have experienced if he grew up with, say, Sirius? Like, if Sirius was there from the beginning, or him or Lupin, like, if they were there and he just grew up knowing he was this wizard god, as a character, how would he be any better than, like, Malfoy? Growing up with a sort of... He would probably grow up to be a little cocky.
I think that there are ways to protect a child from something like that without putting them in a directly abusive situation. Like, I feel like there would have been a way to, be like, shelter him from that ego-inducing fame he has. There's no reason to be putting him with people who want to literally beat the magic out of him. And Dumbledore is supposed to be the smartest man in the wizarding world, and he definitely could have come up with something. Yeah. I have beef with Dumbledore. He's really the bad guy of this whole thing. He's making teenagers, like, years younger than you and I, fight in a war, basically against wizard Nazis.
Yeah.
Are the adults? Where are they? Why are you making a 17-year-old boy fight, like...
Because the Ministry of Magic was corrupt. Like, that whole place was in shambles.
You're not wrong.
They were relying on 17-year-olds, because who else were they going to have? Like, Mr. Weasley?
Cool. That the younger people are fighting is because they have this blind faith in him. And, like, he doesn't tell them anything unless he can benefit from it. There's serious issues with how he chose, like, him taking Harry to the place with the Horcrux in the cave. He shouldn't have exposed him to that. I'm sure there were adults in the Order of the Phoenix who could have dealt with that better than Harry. And then that ends up leading to Harry, like, almost dying. He almost drowns when the Inferi zombie things drag him under the water.
Does the fact that he was a Horcrux, would that have made him immortal to that?
I have no clue. I think maybe it could have. I think that it definitely made him a little bit more resilient. And, like, the only reason he ended up dying was because Voldemort, or dying, quote-unquote, was because Voldemort killed him himself. But at the same time, I'm like wondering if it just shows how many questions JK leaves unanswered in the series.
And they don't even like really acknowledge how problematic Dumbledore was until the Deathly Hallows.
Yeah.
Where, like, you meet the rest of his family and they're like, yeah, he was bad. Like, nobody, we didn't like him.
And like, they're trying to explore that now with the Fantastic Beasts movies. But at this point, nobody cares about that stuff. Like, I didn't watch any of the Fantastic Beasts movies.
I watched the second one. I watched the second. I didn't even watch the first one. Will I watch the next one? Maybe. But
at this, like, it's been done and it feels like it's a, like, shameless cash grab. Even the Harry Potter theme parks feel more genuine than those movies do. Because they're made based off of a textbook that she released as, like, a accompanying piece to the books.
I think I read it.
You probably did. Like, it came, it usually came in, like, the box sets with, like, they had, like, a couple of the other little books as well. But there was no need to make that story. Like, I would have rather have gotten a movie about James Potter and Sirius growing up together or something like that than these movies.
That's what they're doing now, I heard. Like, they're making a show about the Marauders for, like, HBO Max.
I thought they were just doing a Harry Potter TV show. I didn't realize.
Or that. Marauders. I know that's probably I think that's a subject. Like, yeah. They're making it like an anthology where they're covering a lot of things that didn't get as much detail, which I'd love to watch, but will I be as into it by the time it, like, comes out? Like, I found out about it over, like, winter break. Because I've started to notice now, starting Christmas 2020, I'm making the tradition now. I watch all the Harry Potter movies during, like, the holiday season, like Christmas. So that's when I get really into it, is during those times of year. And that's when I heard about this new show. And I was like, oh, I'm super excited, but it's not coming out for a while. And now this is the first time I've thought about it in months.
Yeah, I didn't. I think I might have seen that, but honestly, I just disregarded it as another cash grab type of thing. I watched two of the movies over winter break, but then I watched the 20th anniversary special for the films that came out on January 1st, and it was all stuff that we knew about already. They talk about how Alan Rickman was the only original cast member to know how his character ended. Like, he knew how Snape died back in, like, the first or second film because he needed to justify his actions as a villain character. And it's like all stuff that you see on social media over the years and like those Facebook posts, like fun fact about Harry Potter. But it's like they didn't give you anything else. Like, they gave you some decent interviews, like where one of the things that Tom Felton said was there was this girl sitting next to him in auditions. And she asked what a boom mic was. Like, the guy was holding the mic over her head, and she asked what it was. And he was like, it's a microphone, you idiot. And then it turned out it was Emma Watson, who he was calling an idiot.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, stuff like that was interesting. But, like, at the same time, like, all the, like, behind-the-scenes stuff was stuff that you knew already. And I was like, why did you spend all this time making it? Especially with COVID, because, like, the only people that really interact are the main three, Rupert Grint, Daniel Radcliffe, and Emma Watson. And then they have Daniel Radcliffe talk with Gary Oldman, who played Sirius, and then Helena Bonham Carter, which actually Helena Bonham Carter brought a letter that Daniel Radcliffe wrote to her during production of Order of the Phoenix, basically being like, if I were born 10 years younger, I could take my shot with you or something like that, which I thought was really funny. But all this new stuff is like them trying to rehash the same thing over and over. And at this point, I think we need to just let Harry Potter sit down for a few years, because like it doesn't make sense to keep producing content, especially because a lot of it is JK retroactively changing her mind about things, like making Dumbledore gay. Like, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, like I always think about going back. Like, you always think about going back and changing things. And mm-hmm. I do understand, and I don't, because you want to make it less problematic, but you had this vision. You should at least see it through.
Yeah, and I think, like, the whole Pottermore website, stuff like bonus scenes and stuff like that is good, but, like, going back and changing vital things about the characters really doesn't make sense. Like, I know JK has come out and said, like, she thinks that Harry and Hermione should have ended up together rather than Ron and Hermione, and it's like, why didn't you write it like that? It was your idea to do it in the first place. And yes, you can have regrets about what you've written. I have plenty of regrets about my writing. But coming out and making it into, like, a headline doesn't really make sense. Like, keep it to yourself at that point.
That Pottermore website, I haven't explored it that much. It's really only the place you go when people are like, oh, what house am I? And I just go, like, make an account real quick and do the quiz.
Yeah.
Because, like, I don't know why, but that's the official one.
Well, it is. It is the official one. And I think I've gotten Ravenclaw, like, 80% of the time. I also get Slytherin, but...
Like, me, whenever I do quizzes... My official Pottermore result was Ravenclaw, but on other webs, if I try other websites, like if I try a BuzzFeed quiz, it'll say I'm a Hufflepuff. I've never gotten Gryffindor or Slytherin, which I find interesting.
I think I've gotten all of the houses at one point or the other, but Ravenclaw is my most consistent. Honestly, that stuff doesn't matter. But like, I see people like on dating apps and stuff, like be like, I'm a Ravenclaw. I'm like, okay, and you're also in your 20s. Let it go, please.
So I know you guys have been talking a lot about how Harry Potter's changed, like your view of Harry Potter has changed because of stuff that's come out and maybe just your opinions overall. But what's still your favorite moments from when you know, your experience with Harry Potter when you're really into it or even now?
That was our producer, Brendan Sampson. So I think my favorite moment from Harry Potter is a few years ago, right after I graduated high school, I got to go to the Wizarding World of Harry Potter in Florida. And like, even though I had started to realize the issues with Harry Potter and its author, it was a great experience. Like, I love immersive experiences. Like, I love going to Disney World, like all those things. And it was so cool to finally get to go see that because I'd been wanting to since it opened. I don't remember what year it did, but I've always wanted to go. And I finally got the chance to, and they had just opened the Hagrid ride in Florida. And there was like a 10-hour long wait. And I was like, well, I guess I'm not going on that, but I'm going to enjoy my rest of my time here. And I got to go on, like, the main ride, like, the one that's under Hogwarts in Universal. But then I got to, like, go to all the stores. And in the Ollivanders, like, where you can buy, like, the characters' wands and things, they do a little show at the beginning where they, like, have a kid in the group pick out a wand. And I remember seeing the little girl get her wand, and I was like, what would I have given at her age to get that to happen to me? It was... When you're a little kid, you're like, you don't care about all this, the issues, the political issues when it comes to Harry Potter, but you care about feeling special and you care about the magic in the world that you see but adults don't. And it was really, to be on the nose, it was a magical moment.
Yeah, we'll get to yours, but to continue on that road, who's like your favorite character too? I just feel like we got to know these things if we're going to talk about Harry Potter.
My favorite characters, like a lot of people on social media, are the Weasley twins. Like, they're genuinely so funny, even when the darkest points of the series. Like, in the sixth book, they open their own, like, joke store, like, prank supplies and all that. And it's been their dream the whole series, and now they get to run it. And J.K. ruined that by killing one of them in the last book, which I'm still devastated over to this day. Like, they're just so full of joy, and they show, like, how the joy carries on even in these really dark times. And they're really important characters, especially, like, today. Like, you look at those characters and be like, oh, I should be that person right now.
What's your
my favorite moment with the series was probably, it was December 2020. My mom had just gotten COVID, so we're stuck at home, and it's Christmas season, and what else is there to do? We're stuck in the house. And then a few days after that, I test positive for COVID. So I'm sitting in my room with nothing to do. And I just think, I'm going to watch Harry Potter. So I have my little brother go downstairs, wrangle up every single DVD we had, which was only four. We only had four of the eight movies on DVD. I think it was Sorcerer's Stone, Goblet of Fire, Prisoner of Azkaban, and then Deathly Hallows Part 1. I don't know why we didn't have Part 2. So we do that. Like, I have him bring him up to me. And I just start watching all the movies. They're all... Like, I watched them out of order, too. Like, I started with Goblet of Fire. But I just started watching all the movies and falling in love with them all again. And this was before they were on HBO Max and Peacock. So I was like going through everywhere to try and find them. I ended up like recording them when they were on at like 3 a.m. on USA. And I watched them all again. And I'm like, man, this was amazing. I ended up being stuck in my room until early January. And the days I would watch the movie and then go online, and I went through the entire Harry Potter wiki, just learning more about the characters. I have no idea where that information came from, honestly, some of the stuff on that website, but it's just so interesting. I was watching YouTube videos all about it. I was obsessed. It would be all I talked about with my friends until February, and which I thought was crazy. But watching that all again made me okay, I really enjoy this. And now that's just what I do around Christmas time. It's only been 2 years, so who knows if I'll do it again this year. But just associating a series with the time of year and learning to love it again while you're just filled with joy, I think that's just my favorite moment, because it's something for me to hold on to during that time of year, which a lot of people really need.
I think, Ashley, you touched on this earlier. I'll let you talk about it, but I'm just going to prompt it. That's kind of the beauty of if she let Harry Potter end, is that it comes back and you have a resurgence of being oh, I remember when I loved all this stuff. Obviously you said Fantastic Beasts, just a cash grab. Would you think it'd be better if it just never had sequels?
I think that's a big issue with a lot of modern media, is the need to constantly go back to things right away to cash in on nostalgia. But at this point, it's not nostalgia, because you keep coming back to the same thing over and over again. We've had how many movies about Batman in the past 20 years? A lot. And of course, I'm going to go see the new one because I love Robert Pattinson. But we should let things at least sit for a little while. There's a difference between West Side Story coming out in the 60s or whenever it came out, and then coming out again in 2021. There's a difference between that wait time. And it's a new refreshing take on it after so many years of it sitting, being the same thing over and over again. Of course, people love that old edition as well. But if you're constantly redoing things, there's not going to be that same warm emotional factor. You can tell that it's just for money at this point. And it doesn't feel like they care about the producers and the makers of these projects care about the story like we do. I love the Harry Potter universe, but I'm sorry, I do not care about Dumbledore's gay relationship from 70 years before the events of the first books. What's your favorite movie? We haven't brought that up.
What's my favorite movie? Yeah, Brendan's giving us a thumbs up. My favorite movie, apparently it's not very popular in the fandom, but I like it, is the Half-Blood Prince movie. A lot of people, I keep hearing people say, oh, it's too much of a rom-com, it doesn't do justice to the dramatic events of the book itself, which I agree with, but I just think it's fun. It's so much fun, and there's a lot, even with it being goofy and rom-com-y, you still feel the tension that stuff's gonna go down soon. And I love watching it again, and we talked about it earlier, but the scene and trying to find the first Horcrux, which we, spoiler alert, I don't know.
It's been out for over 10
exactly.
years.
Exactly. You find out it wasn't actually the real Horcrux. Yeah. That scene, I always love watching back, especially the lighting of that just whole thing. That's a cool thing to look at.
I think that the lightness of Half-Blood Prince also reminds you that these characters are 16 years old. They're meant to be having those silly, goofy moments where they're getting drunk and bothering their professors. That is what, obviously I didn't get drunk and bother my professors at age 16, but having those first relationships, all those moments are meant to be happening, not them putting their lives at risk over wizard Nazis. It's a lot for these kids to be going through. But my favorite is Prisoner of Azkaban. I think it's the most artistic of the 8 movies. Prisoner of Azkaban and then Goblet of Fire were both directed by different people other than the main two, Chris Columbus and David Yates, who directed 5 of the movies. It's such an interesting movie, and I love the idea of time travel. It's also my favorite book. But, I love what they did with it. My only complaint with that entire movie is how ugly they made Remus Lupin as a werewolf. The CG just wasn't holding up, considering it came out in, 2003?
Were you expecting Taylor Lautner?
No, way to bring Twilight into it. No, I just don't, because in the books they're described as basically being oversized dogs, basically. And then in the movie they come up with this, slimy, hairless creature, and I'm like, that's not a werewolf. I don't know what it is, but it isn't a werewolf. it's such a fun movie, especially like that moment where Hermione like punches Malfoy right in the face. Girl boss moment.
And when you finally learn about Hogsmeade, that was the one place I wish I was able to visit in real life. Because I always love just little like cottages and villages. That's why I love like going back home, especially because I live near like beach towns. It's different vibes, but it's the same sentiment where it's like you little places, small businesses.
Yeah.
Even when I was younger, I'm like, I love the vibe it was giving off, even in writing.
Yeah. And in the movies, I think they do a really good job with making it like that, like little tiny British town vibe. I went to England a few years ago and like I went to Stratford-upon-Avon, the place where William Shakespeare was born. And, like, it's just like that. It's a little bit more modern than Hogsmeade would have been, but I was like, this is what it'd be like. And it's so cool. And, like, it makes sense that they would include, like, a town like that in Harry Potter. But it's definitely one of those places that, like, you want to be. Like, it's a place where you would feel comfortable. It, like, reminds you of home. Like, it's small and comforting.
It's kind of like, what is it? Hogwarts is college town. I know, you never, there's no education past Hogwarts. In Harry Potter, so it's like, and they call the teachers professors. Like, I can never tell if it's supposed to be high school or college. Even looking back, I'm like, they just go into the workforce now?
Also, like, most of them don't have primary education. Like, Harry is one of the few people who was educated prior to going to Hogwarts. Like, him and her, like, the Muggleborns and, like, people who were raised with Muggles were the only ones that had education. Like, Arthur Weasley, like, asks Harry Potter what a rubber duck is because he has no clue what's going on outside of wizarding. And it's so funny. Like, some of the things, like, they're so completely out of touch with the Muggle world, which is a majority of it. Because, like, according to, like, Pottermore and stuff, like, there's only, like, 50 people per class in Hogwarts. Like, it's not a big school by any means. And there's only a handful of wizarding schools in, the world.
That was one thing I loved learning about when I got really back into it, was learning about the different ones. Mm. I remember I watched like an hour-long video talking about the concept of what was called Ilvermorny.
Oh, yes, the American
Hogwarts. Which is the American Hogwarts.
Yes, and I'm like, I remember taking, they have a sorting test for that one too.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, this is crap. I'm a Ravenclaw. Like, I'm not whatever this
you're,
one is.
You're not like a hawk. It was
animals.
I think
I got classified as a Puck Wudgie.
Yes.
Whatever that is. that's one of those things, like, it's going a little too far. Like, being like, oh, there's ones all over the country and telling, like, a little bit about each one, that's cool. I don't need to know if I'm a Pugwudgie. What does that even mean? I still don't know. I think it's, like, they center on, like, parts of the body, like, the heart or the brain. I'm like, I don't know. Like, I couldn't tell you.
Hearing more about that, it just shows how much the lore of this universe that Rowling created, it's bigger than her at this point. There's so much depth to a lot of places that, like, it just, it's its own living being at this point.
Did you ever hear, it came up with Chamber of Secrets. I don't know if it came up at that same time, but, like, years later. Obviously, the entrance to the Chamber of the Secrets is through a sink in the girls' bathroom. And they're like, plumbing didn't exist back then. How did they go to the bathroom? And according to J.K. Rowling, they would go to the bathroom in their pants and then just magic it away. Like, some of the stuff that she's been coming up with to keep the story relevant, even though she doesn't need to, is insane. Like, why would you say that?
I don't know anymore.
Like, it doesn't make sense. It just makes it look like you have no clue what you're doing, and you're just trying to say things for the sake of saying them.
I know we've gone through a lot in this like half hour we've been talking, like, good stuff about the series, bad stuff. But what do you think, after all the dust has settled with J.K. Rowling, I guess, in life, not saying after she dies, but at some point, how do you think 50, 60 years from now will this series be remembered?
It'll definitely be remembered. I mean, it is the best-selling book series of all time. You can't just forget something like that, even if a series comes along and dwarfs that. But I think it's going to be remembered as a series that went a little too far. Like, there's so much about Harry Potter, but do people have the stomach to handle all that? Like, we're seeing it now with the MCU. There's so much content that you don't know how to handle all of it. And it does, like, so I think people will pick their favorite parts, and then they'll stick with that. And then some things, especially in my opinion, the Fantastic Beasts series will like become obscure. Like, no one's gonna consume them like they consume the original series. There's nothing that's gonna get better than that.
Yeah, like, nobody's gonna consume that series because it's like, you have your view. Everybody has their view of the series. It is Daniel Radcliffe, Emma Watson, and Rupert Grint going on adventures together. If it's not them, I don't know who it would be and who would want to consume that.
It's not that. I think it's just that the original story is what got so many people to fall in love with it. And that's what they connect to most. So I think that's everything that we have for today. Thank you so much for doing this with me, Mike.
No problem, Ashley.
We've been through an adventure together.
This was a connection.
It was. So look forward to our future episodes with different topics and different co-hosts. This is Generation Zedia.